Welcome to the latest episode of Hashtag LocalGovMatters. I'm Michelle Thompson of the Wisconsin Counties Association, and I'm filling in today for our host, Gwen Gunther. On July 3rd, 2019, in a crowded governor's conference room filled with media and surrounded by agency secretaries, legislators, staff, and plenty of cute kids, Governor Tony Evers signed the 2019-2021 state budget into law. The bill, now 2019 Wisconsin Act 9, included 78 vetoes. In his address before signing the budget, Governor Evers stated, quote, "While this budget makes critical investments in areas that were included in the people's budget, this is a down payment on the progress we must make in the next biennial budget," end quote. I'm here today with WCA Executive Director Mark O'Connell and League of Wisconsin Municipalities Deputy Director Kurt Witinski, and we are discussing the 2019-2021 state budget, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Welcome, gentlemen.
Good to be here, Michelle.
Hi, Michelle.
So, the budget process is not a simple one, to say the least, and as we know, with Republicans controlling the Senate and the Assembly and a Democratic governor, it made the entire experience a bit more challenging for all parties. So maybe, Kurt, you can start here. How would you describe this process? You know, was it difficult? Do you think it went smoother than expected?
Surprisingly smoother than expected. I think in the end, all the prognosticators, including ourselves, I don't know, I can't speak for Mark, but I was one of the people at the beginning of January, December, who thought the budget would not be signed into law at best until October, November, and that there would be lots of a little more negative activity as far as the governor possibly vetoing the entire document that the governor sent his way. There were all kinds of guesses as to how long this would take. And in the end, ironically, this budget was signed into law July 3rd, almost perfectly on time. I think June 30th is the end of the budget cycle for the state. And you compare that to last session where Republicans were in control of everything and it didn't get signed until late September. Because they couldn't, you know, agree, two houses couldn't agree with the governor on transportation spending. So this time, split capital control, and we get a budget on time. And so I would say it was much smoother than I thought.
I agree with Kurt 100%. I think the budget process went very smooth. Despite what some people, in fact, in the beginning, Michelle, you said the good, the bad, and the ugly. I'm not really sure there's a lot of bad and ugly in this budget.
Right.
I mean, this is a good budget, and it's a Democratic governor, Republican legislature, but they came together on a lot of issues, despite what some people had predicted. As Kurt said, we're going to veto the whole thing, or we're going to start over, and the legislature is going to throw out the governor's budget and start over. I think in this budget, the governor got 80% of the topics that he wanted addressed. And in large part, probably 60% plus of the funding that he wanted. The legislature focused on areas that they felt were important to them. And in the end, the governor vetoed very little of what the legislature put forward. So this process wasn't very different from other budgets in the past. The Joint Finance in the past would look at recommendations or options by the Fiscal Bureau, and one of the options would be the governor's budget. Same thing this time.
Mm-hmm.
The governor's budget was one of the options this time as well. So despite all of the, you know, probably insider conversation, this budget process was not much different than previous ones, although surprisingly and I think thankfully quite smooth.
It was nice to see it signed in July and not October, as so many people were thinking, late into the fall.
Mm-hmm.
So, gentlemen, the signed budget includes many items that impact local governments. Can you talk about some of the highlights for municipalities, for counties? I don't know whoever wants to take that one first.
Yeah, I'll start.
Sure.
For the counties, one of the primary issues is child welfare. We have an explosion of child welfare cases in this state. Very generally and unfairly characterizing the state in this way. We've got a meth problem in the state. We've got an opioid problem in the South. We've got a lot of kids in dangerous situations. We have a lot of social worker activity. We need to take kids out of their homes. Big foster care issues. We asked for, and we're partners with the state on this issue. We had asked the state to provide $30 million of additional dollars in this area. The governor put forth $15 million in this area, and the legislature upped that to over $25 million. So I think that shows a recognition on the part of the governor and the legislature that this is a major problem, that the state is a good partner with county government in addressing this issue. So child welfare was our number one issue. The legislature and the governor clearly addressed it in a very favorable way. Transportation was another area, a very favorable outcome. There was a veto, which affected the local government. But you set that aside a moment. We've got a dramatic increase in local government funding for transportation. So I think it's a little we should focus on what we got accomplished, and I think what is probably yet to come in further accomplishments in transportation. There is an ongoing increased revenue stream, very important to the governor, very important to the legislature, and very important to local government. So that happened. Additional assistant district attorneys, big win for I guess, law enforcement and our judicial system. So there were several areas where the governor and legislature addressed the needs of local government, especially county government.
I just reiterate what Mark said, that for a highlight for cities and villages was transportation funding. Second budget in a row, we received a 10% bump in general transportation aids program. There was also a slight increase in mass transit assistance, which cities desperately need. So overall, our biggest thing that we're excited about in the state budget is transportation funding increases.
Outstanding. So were there any surprises for you in the final signed document? Anything that came out last week that you were a little surprised to see, or you kind of saw it coming?
I guess I was a little surprised that we only had 78 vetoes. I kind of thought there might be more, even if they were minor vetoes. I thought there would be more. So I was a little surprised at that. But otherwise, I guess the transportation area was a little bit of a surprise. But as the governor pointed out in the veto message and in subsequent statements after the vetoes, that the additional dollars that the legislature allocated to local government for transportation are still available to be allocated to local government. They're just going to be done within the department as opposed to the budget process. So
you're talking about the $90 million that was set aside, and roughly $32 million for counties, $35 for towns, and $23 for cities and villages. But that kind of designation or demarcation on how it was to be spent was essentially vetoed by the governor. It was reduced to $75 million.
To 75, and then the route that it would take to get to local government, specifically the local road improvement program,
right,
is not – that was all vetoed.
Mm-hmm.
But the dollars, or the $75 million of the 90, are still in the budget. They're in the department, and I think conversations will ensue between the League of Municipalities, the towns, the counties, and the department to determine – what priority projects are going to get funded. So I think those dollars are still going to find their way to local government, just not necessarily the way the legislature had envisioned.
Right.
So that was a little bit of a surprise, but not necessarily a negative issue.
No, and one just sticking to that topic, one reason we kind of like the veto is that it opened the door for some of that $75 million going to transit, which otherwise it was not an option. The other surprise, I would say, is basically the whole process – included way less policy in the state budget than in the past. And the Republican legislature was driven by the fact they didn't want to give the governor opportunities to manipulate through partial veto any policy items they put in the state budget. And in previous state budgets, the legislature's always said, oh, we're not going to include policy in the budget. But this time there really was only, I think, 7 or 8 policy, which could be classified as policy, non-fiscal policy items in the state budget. And I think that also reflected on the fact that there were only 78 partial vetoes, because there wasn't a lot to veto out.
Yeah, this policy, we could probably have a whole podcast on policy in the budget.
Right.
And someday I think we should. Should there be policy in the budget? The entire budget is policy.
True.
I mean, it is the one document where policy can get in that might not otherwise pass all on its own, because there's not a, there may not be enough people that really care about that particular issue, yet it's still important to a certain constituency in the state of Wisconsin. So I think when we get excited about policy and the budget, I think we may get a little too excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
It's even at local government level. The largest policy document any local government works on in any given 2-year period is the budget. I mean, you look at local government, lots and lots of policy is in that budget. It might come in the form of a number, but there's a policy, an action, a challenge that's being addressed within that number at the city, town, village, county, school district level, at all levels of local government. So I think we shouldn't get quite so excited about so much policy in the budget.
Well, I'm not like a doctrinaire on no policy in the budget, Senator Cole's like, or something like that. But in the last 8 years, the policy items that were slipped in, usually at the last minute as Joint Finance Committee, tend to be more in the form of preemptions on local government. And so it was nice not to be surprised by anything like that this go around.
I think we'll have to add that to the long queue of topics we have for upcoming episodes for sure.
The League of Wisconsin Municipalities advocates for Wisconsin's 600 cities and villages, speaking up for local democracy and common sense citizen-led government. Learn more at lwm-info.org.
So, were there any items in this budget that you were disappointed to see not make the final document, maybe from the entire process that hasn't happened, or anything that you see as a glaring omission?
I had one item. So, Joint Finance Committee inserted at our request a policy item in the state budget.
But not last minute.
No.
It was during the process.
No, that's right. It was during the process. It was wide open. It was a motion. And it was unanimously voted in support. 15 people voted on it in Joint Finance Committee, and the other person wasn't there. And it would have allowed, had to do with levy limits, would have allowed communities to create stormwater utilities and charge fees to pay for mandate that they have to comply with for water quality regulation purposes. And unfortunately, WMC business groups and others who were nervous about that went to leadership, and it was removed when the budget moved into the Assembly and into the Senate. So that was an item thought I had in there, thought that was good for cities and villages, and in the end came out.
I was surprised at that as well. Mm-hmm. That actually made a lot of sense to have that in the budget. A little disappointed. We've gone partway down the road to addressing long-term transportation funding needs, but not all the way. So we've still got work to do in that area. There's much greater need at both the state and local level than the additional revenues that were in this budget will provide for. So a little disappointed we didn't get all the way down the road, but incredibly thankful for the progress that was made. There's that area. There's also the area levy limits. Really no change in levy limits. That's a little disappointing because the demographics of our state tell us that long term, the property tax is not sustainable as a major funding source for local government. And we've talked about it in the past. Kurt and I have had many, many conversations about this. We do need to take a hard look at how we fund local government in the future as the demographics of this state we're in the midst of a change. And so that was not addressed. So we're still heavily reliant at the local level on the property tax. We will have to have a serious conversation at some point in time, but a little disappointed, but not surprised that was not addressed this budget.
Right.
The Wisconsin Counties Association represents Wisconsin's 72 counties at both the state and federal level. Learn more about how counties impact your community at wicounties.org.
So the governor stated in his address last week, it was in the spirit of these words that we crafted a budget, the people's budget, that represents the will of the people of Wisconsin. Our proposal, written by and with the people of our state, fully funded our schools and provided the largest ever increase in funding for special education, expanded Medicaid, and infused our healthcare system with millions of dollars to improve healthcare for all Wisconsinites, by drawing down $1.6 billion in new federal funds and offered a sustainable, long-term solution on transportation that ensured Wisconsinites would not have to foot the entire bill for fixing our roads. Unfortunately, this budget that I have now signed is in many ways insufficient. So it's a big statement, gentlemen. Where do we go from here? What are your thoughts on the future? What's next?
I'll start. I think Mark just in his prior comments just pointed to the direction that at least local governments need to work with the legislature and the governor on alternative sources of revenue for local government. That's the big picture. That's kind of the long-term goal of both of our organizations. Alternatives, the property tax, and that'll take a lot of discussion and movement forward, but we want to work with the governor and the legislature on that. And then the other thing is the transportation funding. We've started in that direction, and we've reversed the course of the last 10 years.
Absolutely.
But we still have to advance up the mountain and seeking additional sustainable revenue for transportation will be the next step.
I agree 100%. The statement by the governor is a very bold statement. I think part of it was marking some territory and expressing once again what's important to the governor. The governor made a statement that, and in the budget, provided very significant funding for K-12. But I think we should keep in mind the legislature provided very significant funding to K-12 mm-hmm. as well. When there are several hundred million dollars being pumped into K-12, I'd like several hundred million dollars pumped into cities, towns, villages,
right.
and schools,
right.
Counties.
Right.
So that's a very significant number. I don't think we should overlook it. So it's a bold statement, but I think what it really, if you look inside the statement, what it really says is that the governor still cares about these things, and the governor and the legislature have a lot to work on in the future. To Kurt's point, the future funding of local government, incredibly important, and we're going to have a serious conversation about how we fund local government in 10, 20, 40, 50 years. And at the local government level, the League of Municipalities, the Counties Association, we think about this a lot. And it'll go way beyond the years of Kurt and I. But it's important that we have these conversations now to lay the brickwork for successful cities, towns, villages, and counties of the future. So that's an important issue. Transportation funding for the future, very important as well. And if you're going to have a strong community, you're going to have a strong infrastructure. And we don't have the resources quite yet to have that strong infrastructure, so that'll be an important point as well.
Well, that concludes this podcast. Kurt Witinski, League of Wisconsin Municipalities, Mark O'Connell, Wisconsin Counties Association. Thank you so much for joining us today. And be sure to subscribe to #LocalGovMatters.
Thanks, Michelle.
Thanks, Michelle.
Make sure to go to thewheelerreport.com and check out the podcast details. I want to thank our partners in community media, Oshkosh Radio 101.9 FM, Rice Lake Radio 105.5 FM, Sun Prairie Radio 103.5 FM, Wapaka Radio 96.3 FM. Thank you to the League of Wisconsin Municipalities and the Wisconsin Counties Association for working with me on this podcast. And thanks to Jackie Johnson for doing all of our sound editing.